Good afternoon and welcome to Lunchtime Conversations on Radio St. Pete. I'm Joe Bordeaux with you today, right in the middle of Babe Ruth Week in St. Petersburg, celebrating the centennial of the Babe arriving along with a team called the New York Yankees in 1925. And as we will hear, it changed the Sunshine City for good. But we could not have two better guests today to talk about this than Tim Reed and Bobby Ward. And I had the opportunity to work with Tim and Bobby 11 years ago for the 100th anniversary of spring training in St. Petersburg. We'll talk about that a little bit, I'm sure. But right now, Tim and Bobby, you have an official title. I call you the representatives of the Babe on Earth, but introduce yourselves, please.
Yeah, I'm Bob Ward, and I'm from the area. I've lived here all my life, mm-hmm. 70 years, and I've seen a lot of changes, and was interested in Babe Ruth as a young child growing up playing ball and hearing all the stories about him. Yeah. And so my cousin Timmy and I got together and pursued a memorial for him, mm-hmm. and the impact he had to the city of St. Pete.
Okay.
And I'm Tim Reed. I am Bobby's first cousin and best friend, lifelong best friend, ever since I visited St. Pete from Brooklyn, New York in 1962.
Wow. Okay.
And there's a whole history behind that as to how I became a Babe Ruth fan and Yankee fan.
Well, let me ask you, how did that happen?
Well, you know, being from Brooklyn, I grew up, all my uncles, my grandparents, and they were Yankee haters. Everybody hated the Yankees in Brooklyn, except they all loved Babe Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
And that always was an interesting fact. And, of course, we all loved Babe Ruth. Almost everybody loved Babe Ruth. And it became interesting as to why that is. And that's what intrigues me about Babe Ruth, because not only was he superhuman in his athletic abilities, there's been other people in that regard. Jim Thorpe of his own time, mm-hmm. Dempsey, you got Jordan now, different people like that. But Ruth transcends all that because of his, he was such a colorful character, but he also epitomized, embodied the rags to riches story of America more than anybody, and he did it having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he appeals to everybody like that because he was a flawed man as well. But he also transcended that, and he came from such a horrible background, and became the most famous man in America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his dad had a bar in Baltimore. He ended up in, I guess you'd call it reform school, but it was Catholic school in Baltimore, and his mentor there realized he could both pitch and hit.
Yes, amazing. I've been to St. Mary's a few times,
yeah.
And I've been on that field, and recently they had the 50th anniversary of Babe Ruth Birthplace Museum, mm-hmm. and I got there again recently. And it's always amazing to see, because when Babe went there, you know, it was a traumatic experience because he was dumped there, really, by mm-hmm. his parents. His father was a hardworking man, but he didn't have time for Babe Ruth as a child. And the mother is known now to have had depression and probably alcoholism too.
Mm-hmm.
And so she couldn't take care of him. And he was, you can imagine, he was quite rambunctious character. So they dumped him at St. Mary's, which was a reform school. It was called St. Mary's Industrial School mm-hmm. for Boys. But it basically was, there were some orphans. A lot of people call it orphanages mistakenly, but it's basically a reformatory school, like you say.
Mm-hmm. His career in professional ball actually started in Baltimore and then the Boston Red Sox.
Right, right. You know, for me, the story is a little different than from Timmy. I lived here all my life, and the Yankees trained here from 1925 to 1961.
Mm-hmm.
So I had an opportunity to see the Yankees play when Mantle was on the team and Maris and others. I remember as a little boy seeing Joe DiMaggio at the games. And so I became a fan of the Yankees, and shortly after becoming a fan, they left and went to Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
But I continued to be a fan, and that interest then grew, and I started reading about Babe Ruth and reading about, you know, certainly all of his athletic accomplishments. And in talking to some of my relatives that actually saw him play on my dad's side of the family, you know, the tremendous ball player he was and the complete ball player, probably the most complete ball player ever. And then, you know, that grew to where I started reading about him as a human being. And one of the things that fascinated me more than anything was all of the wonderful things he did, charitable things he did for many organizations. Yeah. And many of those organizations here in St. Pete, Knights of Columbus, American Legion, he helped start the Children's Hospital for Cripple, and it grew into, you know, the hospital today, right? And then he did that all over the country. And, you know, his impact to the city was tremendous. I remember my dad telling me stories about, you know, thousands of fans showing up at the train station just to greet him, and how he was always available to give out autographs and talk to the fans. So that was that's my history and how I got interested.
Well, when I was in fourth grade, you know, in today's world, I would have been diagnosed with having a serious problem because I couldn't read. And now I'm somewhat of a historian, have a big library. But it all started with my fourth grade teacher that told my mother, what is he like? And she said, well, he loves baseball. And she said, well, he's going to read baseball books then.
Wow.
And the very first one, I went to 92 Biography in the library, and it was Babe Ruth, Boy of Baltimore. And it was, you know, an easy read book. So the first book I ever read was about Babe Ruth. That's why this is a special topic to me, too.
Wow. So, and I remember when you met Julia 11 years ago and on the field at Al Lang, that ceremony, which was wonderful. And following up on what Bob said, at that ceremony, we had groups that Babe contributed to in St. Petersburg, represented on the field from the Lions Club to the Kids and Cubs to the All Children's Hospital. And we're doing that again on Saturday afternoon at noon at North Shore Park. Those groups are coming to Women's Club. He just donated to so many groups and a lot of individuals who were in need, too. That and he constantly did this. He was like a machine, a charity machine. And he pioneered that as well.
In those days here in St. Pete, the city was and the Board of Trade, now the Chamber of Commerce, was really known for having tremendous public relations. It was all about spring training was a big part of it, obviously introducing the Sunshine City to the world through the baseball teams that played here, I guess beginning in 1914. And but when the Babe arrived, it was a whole new level of public relations when he stepped off that train and walked a few blocks to the Princess Martha.
Right. Well, you know, in reading that history, well, the public relations director, as you know, I'm sure, is John Lodwick.
Absolutely.
Right. And Lodwick had the rooms. If you look out your window here, I mean, I know you know this, but for the audience, you're very close to the Princess Martha, where Yankee headquarters was, and all the ball players stayed there at first. And then for many years, but Babe Ruth didn't because the crowds would accumulate. He had to move the different quarters. But the Dennis Hotel, they used to have parties at that hotel, right? And so Lodwick was a genius, a public relations genius. But when Ruth arrived, like Bobby was saying, thousands would come. He was like a one-man Beatles.
Right?
It was incredible. He'd arrive in town, it'd be like no crowd that was ever assembled in St. Petersburg before.
Well, that's why this celebration is occurring, because it was 100 years ago, this year, this month, when all of this happened. And I will, before we focus a little bit more on what will be coming up this week, mention that in our Radio St. Pete blog podcast archive, you can find several interviews on Babe Ruth on this topic that have been done by Rui Farias, the executive director of the St. Petersburg Museum of History. The program is Historically St. Pete. It's heard Mondays here weekly on Radio St. Pete. But there are three programs in there, two of them with Rick Vaughn talking about the whole history of spring training in the Sunshine City. Another interview with Babe Ruth and the arrival in 2025 of the Babe. And then just this past week, Will Michaels was in to talk more about the Babe, and also the Kids and Cubs, a remarkable softball team that has played here for 95 years. And they were playing this afternoon as we record this. I just came back from watching a game, watching an inning, and it was terrific. So we now reach forward to the festivities this week, and these are significant. This broadcast is one of them. We are sitting here on Thursday at the lunch hour. Tomorrow, there will be activities at the St. Petersburg Museum of History. Why don't you guys talk about what's happening tomorrow?
Well, on Friday morning, that is. It's a first of all, in the morning at 9 a.m., we're measuring the longest home run ceremonially.
Absolutely.
It's already been measured to the West Coast Inn, which is now basically where the Hilton is.
Yeah.
And that's the longest home run that's known to ever been hit off major league pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Ruth did that incredibly in 1934. And a fellow named Mike Mastry, who's from the famous St. Petersburg Mastry family, was a poor kid at that time, but very entrepreneurial. And he was shagging balls, and he knew about that home run. But Ruth himself, long before that, had told reporters in his farewell tour of Florida was at St. Pete, the height of it. And Ted Williams was there and a number of greats. And he said that's the thing that he always remembered, that home run when he hit the West Coast Inn. So the fascinating thing about that is most long home runs you cannot measure because with precision because they land in a field or they hit a structure before they land.
Yeah.
In Ruth's case, the ball was known to bounce and then go up into the balcony.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the Boston Braves stayed. They used to joke it was the home of the Braves.
Yeah.
And so we knew how to measure that. And Bobby and I, that's how Bobby and I really connected on that home run. Mm-hmm. I'll let Bobby tell you that story.
Yeah. So when we were both youngsters, we worked for the city of St. Pete as interns in the surveying crew. My dad was a surveying supervisor. And there was a gentleman that that was also worked there. His name was Terry Lang. And we believe he was probably somewhat related to Al Lang, but we haven't confirmed that 100%. But he used to tell us stories about a home run that he had heard that had been hit. And it was this monster home run that Babe Ruth hit at Waterfront Park. And then from that, Timmy and I would talk about it. Well, if you know Timmy, you know how he goes and researches stuff. And then he started finding actual archives of actual people that had witnessed it, how, you know, articles were written about it. And then further, we went in there and actually measured it using our engineering technique. And, and when we did that, we said, holy cow, this thing is 600 feet. And then Timmy got a hold of a local engineering firm, and we had it measured. And it was basically two spots. One, if it hit, you know, and it bounced and hit the West Coast Inn, or if it actually hit the West Coast Inn, and it measured anywhere between 611 and 621 feet, I believe.
Wow.
So it all started with just somebody, you know, telling us about a story that they had heard. And you know how sometimes those stories are exaggerated. But then Timmy went off and did this incredible research to validate what people had seen. Remember, people were actually living in the West Coast Inn, and they were also witnessed what occurred.
Right.
So there was plenty of evidence to back up the claim. And let me just tell you one little story before I forget, because Timmy just mentioned this gentleman, Mike Mastry. An interesting person. I met him when he was in his late years, 90s, I think 94 years old. And when I first saw him, he was sitting in a wheelchair, and he had a picture of him with Babe Ruth. And so I went over and, you know, introduced myself and started talking to him. And he was telling me a story. And when he was a young kid, he used to go to Huggins Field, or Miller Huggins, now Miller Huggins Stanglefield.
Right.
And he said that he would go every day during spring training and get Babe Ruth to sign baseballs. And he tells one story was that he said he went there and he would go back to Waterfront Park and sell those baseballs. And so he tells one story where Babe isn't there on the field, and he's kind of in a little bit of a panic mode. And they say, well, Babe is down at the outhouse. So he rides his bike down to the outhouse and knocks on the door. And, you know, Babe, who is it? And he goes, it's the kid, because Babe, you'd call him the kid.
Yeah.
So he, okay, I'll be out in a little bit, and I'll sign your balls. So as the conversation continued, he said, "You know, Bob, I have two regrets. One is I never thanked Babe Ruth for those signings." And he says, "I never kept one of those balls." So it's an incredible story, yeah. Isn't it?
Wow. We're speaking with Bobby Ward and Tim Reed, who are two key men behind this week's festivities in St. Petersburg, honoring the centennial of the arrival of Babe Ruth. On that massive home run, we should point out that home plate was not where the last home plate was at Al Lang Stadium, the new Al Lang Stadium, which replaced Waterfront Park. So exactly where was home plate?
It's about 200 feet north of where home plate was in Al Lang Stadium. Mm-hmm. The beauty of this is we know exactly where it was from aerial photography. That's how we were able to measure the home run.
I see.
In a lot of stadiums and long home runs, you're able to find out where home plate is, but the landing spot is the more difficult spot. But we do know where it is. It's marked off on the parking lot in Al Lang, mm-hmm. and George F. Young surveyors will be there on Friday morning with the Ruth family and with a number of people. And this is a very, very big deal because there's a number of stories of what the longest home run is, of course. Mm-hmm. And then there's the stories of what the longest Babe Ruth home run is. And of course, the longest home run is always Babe Ruth's longest home run. There's another great home run that was hit, by the way, from the Al Lang. It was called Waterfront Park in those days. When Al Lang Stadium was built, Mickey Mantle hit a long home run, too. It was 576 feet. And we call it the Fountain of Youth home run because the person, but it did land in a field, so we can't get it with the same kind of precision. But he hit a massive home run that Stan Musial remembered, too. Mm-hmm. And that was that one. Everybody remembered that one. But Ruth went even further. Ruth, wherever you go, Ted Williams used to say, he'd go to a stadium, he'd hit a long home run, and people go, "Geez, that was a long home run."
Right.
But I remember when Ruth hit one about 30 feet further. In fact, they have a seat marked off where Ted Williams hit his long one in Fenway Park.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a very big deal in Fenway Park to go see that one seat that's painted red. Ruth hit one about 35 feet further.
Wow. Unbelievable.
And he only was a pitcher there normally in the early days when he played mostly at Fenway Park. Mm-hmm. And that's the other side of Ruth. He was a Hall of Fame pitcher. He was the greatest pitcher in baseball in 1916 when Walter Johnson was a pitcher. And he was only 20 years old, mm-hmm. right? And then he was always the best left-hander through the time he was with Boston. And then he had the record in the World Series for the most continuous scoreless innings. He had 9 shutouts in 1916. He thought he was 21, but he was really only 20.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us back to his birthday. The reason this weekend is so important, he used to celebrate his birthday every year in spring season in St. Petersburg. And he'd come down here and he'd golf and he'd fish. He came down here before the rest of the team. He loved St. Pete. He had a fishing cottage out on Madeira Beach. And then, of course, all the famous people wanted him to have his home, have their home while he was in town. So he'd stay on Snell Isle sometimes, mm-hmm. on Brightwaters, and then the Fleur de Lyon.
That's right.
All over.
I had an opportunity to buy that condo a few years ago, and I didn't move quickly enough.
Oh, you would have been the person to be in there,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Well, you know, the interesting piece of this, I think, while we're on the Babe and his baseball career, a question I don't know the answer of, and that was, the famous sale to the New York Yankees to finance a Broadway show by the owner of the Red Sox. But who decided that he was not going to pitch anymore? Do you have any idea how that happened?
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah.
He was.
Oh, okay. That was the answer.
And he wanted to hit, when he started coming up in batting practice, they didn't even want the pitchers to take batting practice. Mm-hmm. But he would embarrass Tris Speaker and these great hitters by the way he hit so far, even though he wasn't going to, even on days when he wasn't pitching, right? And he hated sitting on the bench 4 times. They had 5 great pitchers on the Boston Red Sox at that time when he came up. But they used to cut off the handles of his bats, all these things, right? But then what happened is the Spanish flu came along and World War I came along simultaneously, right? And he went to Hot Springs, which was the spring training capital before St. Petersburg, and they didn't have enough men to put in the field. So they had to put him. They had to play him. So he seized the opportunity. You know, what's the old saying? What's the Latin phrase for that? Yeah, he seized the day, right? And he hit the longest ball ever hit until that time into an alligator pond on a Saturday against the Brooklyn Dodgers, Grand Slam, too. And then it was St. Patrick's Day. And then the next weekend, March 24th, 1918, he hit one even longer. And that was the end of keeping Babe Ruth on the bench.
Wow.
And then he came to Tampa and hit the famous 1919 home run, which Al Lang saw. Al Lang went to that game in Tampa to try to get the New York Giants to come to St. Pete. But then he saw Babe Ruth hit that massive home run, 552 feet. And he changed his whole course. For 5 years, he went after Babe Ruth and the Yankees.
Wow. And that was somewhere near the University of Tampa.
Right.
That is today. Is that correct? Yeah.
That's correct. Yeah. They have it marked in the wrong place for anybody going overlooking. It's a nice plaque, but it's about 150 yards in the wrong spot.
Okay. That's good to know. And that's why we're Radio St. Pete.
That's right. That's right.
And not Radio Tampa.
So, you know, a lot of people, it's like a competition about these long swim runs. The West Coast went much further. And statistically, it would have to. It makes sense because Ruth played here. He only played in Tampa one time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a couple of scrimmage games.
Right.
He played here a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. So tomorrow morning, we'll be in the parking lot at Al Lang Stadium and where the Saturday morning market is on Saturday morning, but this will be Friday morning. We'll find home plate, and then we'll officially measure and confirm that the numbers are correct, right?
Right. You'll see the surveyors out there with their tripods and their uniforms. And the landing spot will be at the border of where the Hilton is and the new Salt Air condominiums.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night and worry that they'll measure this tomorrow and it'll be like 320 feet?
Well, if it is, we'll have to stand in the street. Yes. We'll have to stand on First Street and do the measurements.
this will be fun. Well, following the measurement, the official measurement tomorrow morning at 9, then we will go to the Museum of History, Ruy Farias' facility there that is going through some renovation and some construction, but it is a great place. It's the home of Little Cooperstown, the world's largest collection of autograph baseballs. But at 12 noon, we'll be there too, live on Radio St. Pete. And what will be happening in that noon hour tomorrow?
Well, Rui's running the show.
Okay.
And he told me they're going to have a cupcake. It's going to be a birthday party for Babe Ruth because that's the day he celebrated his birthday.
Right.
On the 7th. Even though Babe Ruth learned later in life when he got a passport that he was really born on the 6th, he kept celebrating on the 7th. And he also thought he was born in 1894. He was born in 1895. Mm-hmm. But he learned that only when he went to Japan to play baseball. So it'll be a birthday party, but there'll be speeches. The Ruth family all be there. I imagine people can get autographs if they like to, which is a rarity. This is the largest assembly of Ruth family members ever, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have the grandkids, the great-grandkids, and the great-great-grandkids.
Wow.
And so it's going to be a big deal, a very big deal.
That is neat, and that all comes up tomorrow at 12 noon. Whatever happens, we'll hear it on Radio St. Pete. And was your first contact then with the family? Is that how you just simply took the initiative to reach out, and that's how you're involved?
I was on a baseball blog called Baseball Fever, and people were mentioning what was the longest home run of all time. And I said, well, it was one of St. Pete. I used to hear about when I worked on a surveying team with my cousin Bobby, and this is what it was said to be. And then I dug in, you know, as an engineer, and you know, Bobby did the survey, and so we were able to determine. And then the Ruth family learned about that indirectly from a famous writer named Bill Jenkinson, who's called the Babe Ruth of Babe Ruth historians.
Okay.
And then eventually, so they got in contact with me, and they had heard stories all their life about St. Petersburg because their parents loved it.
Yeah.
Never mind Babe Ruth and his. Yeah. So they. Then they wanted to come to St. Pete, and we did that a few times now.
Well, that event 11 years ago in 2014 was an amazing event. We had the St. Petersburg Sports Alliance at that time, St. Petersburg International Baseball. We were playing a series with the Canadian Junior National Team against all the minor league players in camp, you know, for spring training. So it was high school kids playing professionals, and the games were very close because the high school kids were the best ball players in Canada, and several of them would be drafted each year, and several ended up in the show. But it was one of those games when we celebrated all of this, and you're right, Julia Ruth Stevens threw out the first ball. She was a wonderful lady. At that point, she was 98 years old, yeah. And she flew here all the way from Henderson, Nevada, just outside Vegas, to be a part of it. We found a limousine, and we found the Vinoy Hotel, and tried to show her a great time. And she gave Will Michaels and others tours of the city and all the places she remembered. It was a tremendous experience the last time we did this.
Yeah. Would you like to hear one funny anecdote about that?
Absolutely.
Well, Julia walked. Although most people remember, she went out on a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't need a wheelchair, but they figured it was such a long distance from the outfield gate where she walked in to the pitcher's mound that it would be better to have the wheelchair. So Will pushed her out on that. But while we were sitting there, the American Legion state delegation came down, and they were there. And one of the people who was there was in his uniform was a famous guy named Pearl Harbor Eddie. He was 15 at Pearl Harbor. He lied to get in the Navy. So he was one of the last guys, you know. And I think he was maybe 96 at the time. And then Julie was there, 98. And so they're standing together. And when he comes up, and he had heard a little about her, you know, someone in his age group would be there.
Right.
So he looked at her, and he goes, "You're Babe Ruth's daughter?" Right? She was good looking. She was sharp, you know.
Yeah.
And she goes, "Yes." She was very reserved and dignified, mm-hmm. Julia, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, "Yes." And he goes, "Wow, they should have called you the Babe." And she started belly laughing. I'd never seen a laugh like that. You know, it was so great.
Yeah. Wow. The other thing I remember her talking about when she was at the Vinoy, she remembers as a little girl with her friends running around the Vinoy playing hide and seek,
mm-hmm.
and enjoying the you know, the hotel, and how wonderful everybody treated her and her family. She had a lot of fond memories of not just the Vinoy but all of St. Pete, and she remembered a lot. Which was nice. And she even said that how her dad, Babe, mm-hmm. loved the area and how much he enjoyed it because he could play golf, he could fish, he hunted, He, you know, when he first came, he was probably a little apprehensive because he was coming from Arkansas for spring training. But once he got here, he really enjoyed the surrounding area and really enjoyed it for himself.
Mm-hmm. So. I remember Julia always referred to him as Daddy.
Yeah.
Daddy like this, daddy like that.
Right.
You probably have this same story, but before we leave this topic, probably 5 or 6 weeks after that experience, I was picking up mail at a rental property I owned at the time that I hadn't been to the mailbox in a while, and I went over on a Saturday and opened the mailbox, and it was stuffed full of things, but there was a big envelope, big brown envelope, and a big flat brown envelope, and the address on, you know, looked like my great grandmother writing, you know, it was a kind of older person's writing, and I noticed the return address was Henderson, Nevada. And I'm there. There was another guy waiting to look for his mail, too. I opened the envelope, and it was a signed picture from Julia and Babe Ruth.
Wow.
And I'm looking at this, and I started to cry.
Oh,
and I'm not that kind of person. I literally started to cry, and the guy next to me said, are you okay? And I go, I'm more than okay.
Wow, that's a treasure.
Yeah, absolutely. And particularly, you know, as I said, it was the first book I ever read. It was Babe Ruth.
So,
she was fabulous, and that was a great event. And this week, we expect equally great events in conjunction with the centennial, the arrival of Babe Ruth in the Sunshine City. You're listening to a special edition of Lunchtime Conversations on Radio St. Pete. I'm Joe Bordeaux. Our guests, Tim Reed and Bobby Ward. And they're key people in this big celebration of Babe Ruth in the Sunshine City. We mentioned tomorrow morning they'll measure the record home run. There will be an event at 12 noon at the History Museum, the St. Petersburg Museum of History, headed up with Rui Farias and the Ruth family. And then we come to Saturday, there will be a big game at North Shore Park. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, that's a big one. That's the City Hall Stars.
Yes.
The mayor and the city council. We're right. going to play the kids and Cubs. The Babe Ruth used to actually be a base coach, ceremonially for the kids and Cubs because right. they played on the fields over there in Old Waterfront Park. Mm-hmm. And the kids and Cubs had their own field mostly, which was just the south of Waterfront Park, called South Waterfront Park by the Fountain of Youth. Mm-hmm. So they have a rich history going back. And then, but the kids and Cubs in their own right are amazing. I mean, Bobby and I used to say, like, 20 years ago, yeah, we're going to play on the kids and Cubs. And then we're like 70, you know. And we don't know how – we don't meet their standards.
No.
Now.
You're not old enough.
No. Well, we're not – well, not only that standard, we don't meet their standards of quality as right. ball players. And yeah. we played a lot of ball. Bobby was the number one slugger in softball in Florida,
wow.
you know,
wow.
for many years. And so he played for the Sultan of Swats in St. Petersburg, you know. And they were one of the great teams. So, but now we look and we can't believe it. So these guys are incredible. And then they've had that team was actually founded by a woman and who was an actress. And I looked into her background. She actually has a distant relationship to Russell Crowe mm-hmm. and Kate Blanchard and Banjo Patterson, who's the guy who wrote Waltzing Matilda.
I'll be there.
Right, isn't that something? And so she came down, and she had a hotel called the Hibiscus Hotel down by Waterfront, and she wanted to start a club for the senior citizens that came down here to retire, and they were quilting, and everybody got so bored. After about 2 hours of quilting, they decided we ain't going to quilt, you know. So they came up with the idea of having a softball team because it was 1930, mm-hmm. and it was. This was the baseball capital, really. I mean, St. Pete was in the daily news on multiple pages. You know, Babe Ruth put the town on the map.
Right.
I mean, you know, you hear about St. Petersburg here occasionally, but really it was Babe Ruth that put it on the map. And, to divert a little, they dragged him out of Hot Springs in New Orleans. He didn't want to come to St. Pete because St. Pete was a dry town,
yeah,
which right. is why the Yankees wanted him here. Right? But as soon as he got here, he looked around and he said, well, I don't know. He goes, but if anybody can have fun in this town, it's me. And the next thing you know, there's bridges, there's hotels, there's the New York Press is down here. The other teams are all coming down here. Because in one day, the other clubs could make more money in one day when their team played Babe Ruth than they did the rest of the spring training.
Wow.
Right? They packed them in yeah. if they would go to Bradenton or, you know, Clearwater or whatever. And So the kids and Cubs were all part of that. Now they're in their 95th year. They had a famous guy who used to live at the Princess Martha who was featured on the, if you remember the Nike Just Do It shoe commercials,
mm-hmm.
he was featured on there where he makes a play and they're only showing his feet with his cleats. And then they come up and he's 100 years old, right? And he's still good. And then they ask him, what's the secret? He goes, well, the shoes. And it was a big, big commercial, you know. That's only when Jordan and Flojo joined mm-hmm. and all those people were on there. So they have this tremendous history. Bobby and I were at their 95th banquet the other day.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. So kind of a funny story that Timmy just reminded me of. We had an opportunity, Timmy and I and Bill Jenkinson, who's a historian, to give a speech. Each of us gave a speech to city council. And I remember when this is how many years ago, Timmy, would you say? 15 years
10,
ago?
15. 10, 15.
Yeah. So we're sitting in the council lobby, and I look over and I see these two gentlemen dressed up in the Kids and Cubs outfit. And so I go over and introduce myself to them, and we start talking. And I told them I was thinking about coming out of retirement, playing softball again. And I'll never forget it. There was one gentleman, you could tell he was in charge. And so I said to him, I said, you know, hey, you know, if I come out, do you think I got a chance? And I'll never forget what he said to me. He looked at me straight in the face and says, I don't know. We have pretty high standards. And so Timmy, I went over and told Timmy what he said. He said,
you have to try out. Yeah. Wow. On Saturday before the game, there will be a dedication of a new statue at the park. What do we know about that?
Wow. Well,
we have a gentleman who has contributed his time and effort to create this statue that Timmy and I actually went over yesterday and looked at. Mm-hmm. And it's a statue of Babe Ruth when he did pointed for his home run. Okay. And he's going to unveil that there. So I don't want to say a whole heck of a lot more than that. But he has spent a lot of time and energy putting this together. And I think people are going to be really impressed with what he has done. And it'll be at the game. And he wants to do the unveiling. One other story I guess I'd share with you is I have a grandson who plays Little League baseball. He's 5 years old. Well, he's, you know, it's amazing how they listen to you when you're talking, not to them, but around them. And so he's become a big Babe Ruth fan, right? Because he's heard all the stories.
Right.
And he actually plays and he wears the number 3. And so he wants to go to the event. And just the other day, he said to me, he goes, well, so is Babe Ruth going to be there? And I go, not before I said, but then I said, there will be somebody that looks just like him. And Timmy has brought somebody in who does an actual imitation of Babe. So it should be interesting. But it's amazing how the little kids even now are starting to hear about him.
Yeah, yeah. I recall a Tampa Bay Rays game where they would have a banquet. And I had an opportunity to take my dad when he was in his mid-90s. And he began to regale some of the then-current Rays players with his stories of seeing Ty Cobb play in the Babe and going to Shibe Park. And, you know, these were guys like Carl Crawford. And they were you know, they just called him old man. And they just sat and listened to this. And I that always impressed me with my dad, that he could hold sway like that.
Wow, I didn't know that. Yeah, he's seen all that. Yeah. You know, talking about Shibe Park, you know, it's interesting because Babe Ruth is known still in the younger generation, like Bobby's family. Mm-hmm. And now the sculptor's a young man, relatively young man, you know, probably 40s, right? So it's carrying on this tradition, and it's so important what you're doing now to keep that history going. But about 2008, a very notable thing happened in town here that most people don't know was connected to Babe Ruth, and that's Bryce Harper was discovered. And he was a high schooler. He was 15 at an event called the Power Showcase at the Trop. And on the day he turned 16, it might have been one more day, he hit a 502-foot home run in the Trop. Wow. Now, of course, they use aluminum bats, but still, they only get about 50 feet extra out of that. But that is incredible for a high school, for a 15/16-year-old boy. But the reason he was so inspired to do that, besides being already a great player, is the announced award was the Colossus of Cloud Award. And Babe Ruth's granddaughter was here, and a specially carved bat the size of Babe Ruth's, 54 ounce, Ruth used in the early days, was the award. So he went out there, and he modeled the swing after Babe Ruth, by the way. So a lot of young people wouldn't know that Bryce Harper has that connection to, he's the first person to win the Colossus of Cloud Award.
That's amazing.
In St. Pete.
Did not know that. Wow, wow, wow. So we're going to play a 7-inning game on Saturday starting at 12:10, and we'll have the play-by-play, all the action here on 96.7 FM, if all goes well, on Saturday. We're looking forward to that, and we'll have at least one family member in the game, right?
Yes, Tom is throwing out the pitcher, and I believe Brent will play, and maybe the daughter, who's supposed to be very good. Yes, so they'll be playing, yeah.
Wow, and they're going to play for the kids and Cubs?
I don't know. Okay, I think
we'll find,
so.
We'll find out.
I think so. I hear the kids. I hear the City Hall stars make, in addition to the city council and the mayor, they might bring along a few ringers. You know?
I believe I think so. Some of the administration will be probably a little bit younger. This happens at North Shore Park, noon hour, the dedication at 11:30 on Saturday this week. And this couldn't be better timing. Pitchers and catchers, you know, report coming up here in the next week to 10 days, depending on where you look. And the Rays will get started down in Port Charlotte. And, of course, we'll be playing at the home of the New York Yankees this summer over at Steinbrenner Field in Tampa, with opening day coming up at the end of March. Well, after the ball game on Saturday, there are still more activities in conjunction with the centennial of Babe Ruth. So what happens next?
Well, Steve of the Jungle, who lives on the west side of St. Pete, has helped us organize a parade. And that parade will take place in the Azalea area. Mm-hmm. And then after that, Timmy, there's a big event that follows that back at the Sacred Grounds over by Jungle Prada.
Yeah.
And Timmy was just there yesterday looking at all of the logistics for that event. So.
Well, the Jungle Prada, the parade is going to be a golf cart parade because Babe Ruth used to, it's going to be right on the very one of the fairways that Babe Ruth used to golf at. And he was an amazing golfer. He was the most popular. He was the most famous golfer in America. Not the greatest golfer. He's the guy that popularized golf. You know, before that, it was an elitist kind of sport for Bobby Jones. And, of course, he was very close friends with Walter Hagen, who was the golf pro at Pasadena.
Yeah.
But fascinating story about Ruth. He was a good long ball hitter, of course, in the thing. But he had a double eagle at the Jungle Club, which is it was a 500-something yards, and that meant two shots. So it was like a hole-in-one from 230 yards, and then he had 300 yards to the spot where he hit the hole-in-one from. But so it's going to be there, and the parade will go along Farragut Boulevard. And it'll be a short parade. But then it will have festivities, a stage at the end, and people get to see the statue out there if they want. After that, and the whole day of Saturday, there's going to be a Babe Ruth impersonator, too, a really good one. And he'll be entertaining people. After that, we go to Jungle Prada. Now, that's a fascinating area because that's one of the reasons Babe Ruth, how he changed St. Pete and one of the things he enjoyed about it. The Gangplank nightclub was the hottest spot in all of Florida. Some people say the hottest spot in all southeast United States. And of course, this is the Prohibition era. So they used to have, whenever they ordered a drink, they had to call it Bimini tea, because the liquor was imported from Bimini to a large extent. And in any case, so Ruth and Tom's grandmother, Claire, his second marriage, Babe Ruth, it's believed they had an informal wedding there at the Jungle Prada, what's now called the JP's Taverns, tavern, right? And so there's that history there. And Ruth, that was his spot. I mean, you know, he loved that place. And so we have a band that's going to play some of the songs from there on the Jungle Prada plant. And we're going to, any musician wants to come up to sing a baseball song or something connected. So we hope people are listening now, musicians, if they want to come up and sing, you know, Put Me in Coach, come on up. If you want to sing the national anthem, come on up. Take me out to the ballgame, come on up. Right, this is a chance. And we're going to be, you know, a lot of this is going to go on film. We hope to make a documentary at a later date, that's assembling true. All this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And there's a girl, a 12-year-old girl, who evidently sang the national anthem at the World Series, Little League World Series. She's going to be singing at the parade. So it's a lot of fun like that.
This is coming up Saturday night in West St. Pete, in the Jungle Prada, Sacred Lands out there. There'll be live music. And we'll have more information about that here on the radio station as well. It is quite a week, for sure, in the city, a week of celebration. We did not mention that following this broadcast today, we'll be taking you to St. Petersburg City Hall at 1:30. We'll be there live to bring you a very special proclamation. What is that about?
Well, the proclamation was issued by City Hall. Mm-hmm. The mayor signed it. And this is it summarizes the glorious, spectacular and glorious history of Babe Ruth's contributions to how important he was to the city. He's probably the most important person ever in the history of St. Petersburg in becoming a big to-do.
Yeah.
And it celebrates that and commemorates that. And the official proclamation declares February 8th, Saturday, Babe Ruth Day in St. Petersburg.
Wow. Okay. Well, stay tuned for that. It's coming up. If you're listening live on Thursday, it will be coming up live at 1:30. And we'll take you to City Hall to not miss yet another big part of this big week. We, gentlemen, this has been a pleasure. You can tell I'm a fan.
Thank you, Joe. It's been a pleasure for us, and thank you for all you've done. Yeah. I want to see that photograph with you and from Julia to you someday.
I don't think it's in my car, but I'll make sure.
Probably in your safe.
I'll make sure. Yeah.
That's a great story, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was terrific. Jim Reed, Bobby Ward, the centennial of Babe Ruth, 100 years ago this week. I'm Joe Bordeaux. Thanks for listening to this very special edition of Lunchtime Conversations.